1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
To be seated. Good morning. Morning. We're glad you're here with us this morning. I'm going to take out these chairs and I can stand by you. It's good to see you. We want to know you're here, and I'm going to send this around just to register that you're with us. We do look at these and make note of them, so please let us know you're here this morning. All kinds of things happening in the life of the church, so you'll want to be sure to take your bulletin home and read it, but a couple I want to highlight for you. One is this coming a week from today is Spooktacular, and you may have seen that. And yay, I think that's just a thumbs up, general go, it's fun. Right. People have said, well, why should I go? I don't have kids. Just come and roam around and be friendly, church, because that's really what we're supposed to be about. And it's a great time. I understand lots of our community comes for Spooktacular. So even if you're not decorating your trunk, come, because there's a lot of fun things happening. Then, this is, you'll see, these are the pledge cards for stewardship for 2020, envision the best Mountain View. And we're not handing them out yet. We're waiting one more week. But if you won't be here next Sunday, there are some on the back table, and you can feel free to fill one out and leave it for us. But we're waiting, because we want to give you plenty of time to think about, pray about, and have conversation with people in your family about what you're going to put on this as you support the ministries of Mountain View. Because sometimes just putting the number from last year isn't the best thing for you. It may be, but really think about this, pray about it. We want you to understand what you're doing and how it supports Mountain View. So if you won't be with us next week, feel free to take a card, but otherwise we'll have them all next week for you. And this is Wednesday is the last day to sign up for the Building an Inclusive Church workshop. And you can sign up in the narthex, you can email Michael, or you can go online, and the information is in your bulletin. One of the things that struck me as interesting this last week, I don't know why I didn't think about this, but the man who's coming to do the presentation for that, Izzy Alvaran, is a Methodist minister from the Philippines. And he is actually in the United States as a political asylee, I think that's how you say it, but he's under asylum here because his life is in danger in the country he lives in because of who he is and how he identifies. And to me, that makes it even more heart-wrenching almost to think about that you couldn't live with your family anymore because of that. But anyway, so you'll want to sign up for that if you can. If you have questions, see one of us. And I also, for a last announcement, I messed up 2 weeks ago, and I want to apologize to Belinda Strickland right here publicly in front of everybody. Belinda just got back Friday. Midnight, like the midnight we just had a few hours ago, from Puerto Rico, where she was working on a mission trip through the Boulder United Methodist Mission Partners. And I wanted to send her out with a blessing, but I missed it somehow because she left before I was thinking about it. So welcome back. And I understand there's different groups. Yes, thank you, Cheryl. So we appreciate you being the hands and feet of Christ representing this church. So I'm glad you got back safely, and we can't wait to hear more about it. I understand you're going to be talking to some different groups about your experiences. And what? Yes.
And they will be doing another trip in the future, and so I'm here to tell you it's safe for you to go. You get to sleep in the bed. There's an air conditioner, a little one in the church room that you sleep in, so you don't die at night. It's good.
It's good. If you couldn't hear Belinda, she's saying it's good, there's an air conditioner, a bed, and you don't die. Kind of. But it's also amazing and good work. So we'll look forward to hearing about that. Maybe we can raise up a bunch of us to go together. Wouldn't that be fun? Let's work on that. It will be good. So we will work on that. Thank you, and I'm glad you're back safely. Let's take a minute to greet one another. Tell someone you're glad they're here, and maybe meet someone you've never met before. Good morning again. It is so wonderful to share and visit, and I hope you all have met someone new, visited and greeted someone who's a guest with us this morning. We've lost Rebecca, but she'll come back. If not, oh, no, there she is. She's right there. She's right here. We're going to press on without you. We come to a time as a community of faith where we share our joys and concerns. Are there joys or concerns you bring this morning? Anybody else? You're all good back there. Oh, yeah. What do you want?
I have a joy.
Yes?
My joy is the wonderful celebration for Vicki yesterday, Celebration of Life, yesterday at 10 o'clock. It was great.
Her family's great.
Is that who you all are?
No.
No.
That's Jean's family.
Well, perfect. It was really an amazing memorial service. Stephanie preached her little heart out, and this place was packed. It was like packed. We had people in the balcony too. So God bless Vicki. She's feeling good today.
Thank you. Anyone else? Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so thrilled to be here this morning, to be in your presence, to be in this place of worship, to come singing praise and offering prayers, to hearing your word. Fill us with your spirit in ways that we can't imagine. And in these weeks, as we're talking about your church, remind us of that, that this is your church. Clear our vision so that we would understand and know you and know who you would have us be, and remind us whose we are as we move forward into the mission field, into the ministry, into being your hands and your feet, being your church, God. Pour out your spirit on each person gathered in this place. We offer this prayer and all prayers in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come to that time where we make our gifts and offerings to God who provides for us.
And our third song this morning is Just As I Am.
Just as I am.
I went online and looked it up. Will you join me in our scripture reading today? And we'll start with the words, "May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in the sight of, O God, our rock and our redeemer." Scripture is from Matthew 6, 19, 21. Please feel free to read aloud with me or just enjoy the words. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word of the Lord, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This morning we're continuing stewardship, and as I mentioned last week, I know it's not always a favorite for everyone to talk about money. And sometimes we think maybe in church we shouldn't talk about money, but we have to. We have to talk about money for lots of reasons, and the main one is Jesus said so. Well, he didn't say talk about money in church, but Jesus did say this. He's talked about money more and possessions more than he even talked about prayer. It's not because Jesus thought that was more important. It was because he knows that that gets in our way, our human way of interacting and relating to God. And I want us to always remember and think about that as we talk about money. It's not about money for the sake of money. It's about money for ministry, money for things that we need to do to be the hands and feet, ways that we can be supportive. So as we turn to this scripture today, what's it telling us? What's the message here? To me, it's a real clear visual image. It says, don't store up your treasures on earth. And you know what I picture? It's something like maybe in the movie Aladdin or Pirates of the Caribbean, a big giant pile of gold and jewels and shiny stuff and treasure. You can picture it. You've seen those images. That's what I picture. And then what Jesus says happens, the moths come and they eat the beautiful tapestries, and the rust comes and ruins all that beautiful shiny stuff, and thieves come and steal the rest of it, and then you see this dilapidated pile. I know that's probably not the pile of treasure that Jesus had in mind, but that's what I see, because I've never really seen a giant pile of treasure. I don't have one in the basement of the parsonage, don't worry. There's no pile over there of treasure. There's piles, but not of treasure. But I can imagine that. That's what treasure seems to me. But that's not Jesus' idea of treasure, and it's not our idea exactly. So what is Jesus talking about here? What's he talking about when he talks about treasure? One of the things that I find interesting about this passage is where it falls. It's in Matthew 6, and those of you who are looking at a Bible will see this, but I'll show you if you can see. See how there's like lots of little sections here and lots of little white space? There's a reason for that. Chapter 6 follows chapter 5, and chapter 5 is what we always think of as the Sermon on the Mount. But Matthew 6 is also part of that same Sermon on the Mount. And each one of those little sections is Jesus' instructions on how to be a follower of Jesus. How to be a follower. And there's things like how to pray and how to fast and that we shouldn't worry and all of those kinds of things, but also about our treasure. Jesus wants those people sitting on the mount to hear what we're supposed to do with our treasure, what we're supposed to do that with that which God has given us. But one of the things that I know that Jesus didn't know, yes, I said that, there is something I know that Jesus didn't know. I know about mothballs and WD-40. And the reason I know Jesus didn't know about them, they didn't exist back then. I don't know if people still use mothballs. I don't know if they're even legal anymore, are they? Maybe, some of you know. But when I grew up in the Midwest, every spring you took everything you owned that was made out of wool and put it in something, it had to be closed, and you put the mothballs in. And the reason is as the mothballs release, whatever fumes they release. And I know all the chemists in the room are going, get this right. Sorry, I'm not going to. And they release it, and it kills the moths. And that was one of the uses of mothballs, but there was another. My great-grandma buried mothballs throughout her garden because it keeps cats out. And that still works, I suppose. We use cayenne pepper at our house, but to keep the cats from digging up your landscaping, that works too, because then they look, you know, it's bad. But anyway, that's two of the things that I knew to use mothballs for. And I never thought of my sweaters as a treasure. I like some of them, but I never thought of protecting my treasure with mothballs. But WD-40, now that's something I know. How many of you have ever in your life used WD-40 for something? See? Don't you wish you were the person that held the patent on that? Except he got robbed of his patent. The man that created WD-40 was given $500 for his patent, and he accepted it gladly. And that was back in 1958. And so in today's dollars, maybe around $4,700, $4,800 for selling that. Oh, he missed out. Because I don't know what WD-40 is worth today, but a lot more than $4,800. So WD-40 is amazing stuff, isn't it? Do you know what it stands for? Water dispersing formula number 40. It took 40 attempts to get there. Water dispersing. It was created for the space industry. And I know talking to this crowd, I'm in trouble because some of you know this stuff much better than I do. It was created in the space industry to spray on the outside of rocket ships. I don't know why. I'm sure somebody's going to tell me, and then I can tell the next group to protect them from something. WD-40 is used for lots of things. What are some of the things you use WD-40 for?
Bicycle chains,
yes. Stop squeaking. Those are the two main things that people think of. Did you know that those are wrong? You shouldn't use it for those things? It's not a lubricant. It's a water dispersing agent. And because of that, it's used for lots of other things. And so I looked up some great ideas for you all. And the reason you shouldn't use it on your door hinges or your bike is it stays there. And it collects dust and dirt. So over time, you're going to make your hinges glumpy and your bike chain will get really gooey. Don't use it. Get lubricant for those two things. But did you know that WD-40 is great for all kinds of things? Say you're taking your dog for a walk and you step on chewing gum. A little squirt of WD-40, gone. It'll come right off of there. Did you know that? How about Legos? You know how sometimes they get stuck? A little WD-40, they'll come right apart. If you spill tea on your counter and it stains it, WD-40, boom, gone. Here's one that I really like. You know squirrels and how they eat your bird food? Spray the post with WD-40. No more squirrel problems. If you have a shed and it's got lots of spiders, you can spray WD-40 in there and they'll stay away because they don't like the smell of WD-40. It's not recommended to use that in your house because of the fumes. But those are some of the fun things you can do with WD-40. We kind of got it wrong, but it's amazing stuff. There's all kinds of things. You can Google and you'll find all kinds of different things you can do with WD-40. And yes, it does get rid of rust. So it's okay for that purpose. And that goes back to the scripture. Because our treasure will get full of rust. And see, Jesus didn't know this, but all we have to do is spray it and it would go away. The rust is gone. So does that mean we can pile up our earthly treasure as much as we want as long as we keep our mothballs and our WD-40 at hand? No. But it sounds good, doesn't it? It's like a way to escape. But I think that actually the WD-40 fits in because maybe we are supposed to be like the WD-40. John Wesley said that all that we have is something that somebody else doesn't have. Most of the people in this room are doing pretty well. Most of us are. And all the things we have, somebody else doesn't have. And so we have a responsibility with those things that we have to help those who don't have. And I'm okay with that. That makes some sense to me. It doesn't mean you shouldn't work hard and do well and have. And I don't think that Jesus even was saying get rid of it all. I think Jesus is saying watch what you've got and figure out how you can make a difference. Now, next week, we're going to ask you to fill out a pledge card and tell us how much you're going to give to this church, how much money you'll give to help support the ministries here. How much will you give to make a difference? And how much... What's that? Okay. I never heard that before. I didn't know if we should duck and cover or what. So we will ask you how you want to help support the ministries of this church. And some of you may think, well, I need a new roof soon and want to give to that. It's going to stand, right? Okay, good. That is really amazing. I'm sorry. I'm very easily distracted. Squirrel! But what will you do and how will you support this place? And some of you may wonder, is it worth supporting? How much is it worth supporting? Why should we support it? And I want to share with you a couple of examples why I think it's so critical and important that you support this place. This last week, I've been gone all week at the clergy retreat. Every year, the clergy are required to attend a retreat, and we have programs, and we learn, and we relax, and we pray, and we do all kinds of things. This year, I was responsible for the program, so I didn't get to retreat as much as I would have liked to. But one of the speakers was a man who came to talk about the environment. And the title of his talk was Hope in an Apocalyptic Time, which is not very hopeful to think about, apocalypse, but he started to talk about the environment and how bad it is and how it's falling apart and the world is going to end soon. And this isn't a political stance of mine at all. He just shared all kinds of things, and it was scary. Some of those facts are scary. And he said, though, that he finds hope in a couple of ways. One of the places he finds hope is he said that, do you all know, we already have all the technology in place to save the environment. It's all there. We just have to use it. There are all kinds of things he offered that we can do. One of the ones that I thought was neat, since we live here in this composting city or other places, that, and all of you who do composting, did you know that if they take compost and put it on a field, it starts to suck carbon out of the air? It's carbon negative to use compost. And there's a farm here in Boulder, and I don't know where, but they're trying this as an experiment. My friend works for EcoCycle, and so he has a lot of information about all this, and he said it's amazing to read the levels based on composting. Who knew? And he found hope there. He found hope in knowing that children care about this and are hoping to make a difference. But he's talking to a group of maybe 200 United Methodist ministers, and he said, one of the places that I find hope is in the church. In the church. Wow. And I thought about that because he said, it's not enough for churches to have a green team anymore. We have a green team, and that's a good thing. And one of the things that shocked me is around me, several pastors said, what's a green team? Yeah, exactly. Whoa. They didn't even know what one was. And now he's telling them that that was a great thing of the past, and they haven't even gotten there. But he said, it's good to do all those green things. We need to do them. But he said, the church should be doing so much more. The church should be using the voice to make a difference. Not just separating out our recycling and our composting, but talking about the issues, helping people understand how each person can make a difference, talking to people at the legislative level, helping them understand. And he said that throughout his life as a Methodist, throughout his life, he's found hope in the church for all kinds of things. He said that when his partner had a stroke and they didn't think he'd survive, the church community rose up around him and gave him hope. And he knows that same voice can be used to raise up and give hope to the world. Wow, our treasure can help with the environment. We can give hope to people who are worried. There was something about that that I found powerful, church. That if a church like Mountain View, who is a forerunner in things like being carbon neutral, and we had solar panels before anyone else had thought about it, If a church like this loses their voice, the world loses some hope. And that's an amazing reason to support the church. And the other one you already kind of mentioned, but I'll take it a little further. Yesterday here at the church, we had Andrea Samuel's mother's service. And there were maybe, 200 people or so that'd be about in this place. Vicky had 7 grandchildren, 3 great nieces and nephews, all under the age of 7. Plus, many of the other family members had children. So I asked her, do you want us to provide a nursery? No, we don't want that. Andrea said that her mother would have wanted the kids to be a part of the service. Okay, then. So I talked to Larissa, and Larissa created some sheets and things for them to have up here in our playground. And there were kids all over the place. And I literally mean all over the place. Because one of the little ones, she was maybe, if she was 18 months old, that was pushing it. She was this big. And she played for about 3 minutes over there. And then she started running over here to visit with her grandma. And then she's running back and forth. And then the coolest thing, she discovered these stairs. Now, if you've ever seen a little one who's just learning to walk and understanding their abilities to be able to move, she would go up the stairs, look pleased with herself, and come back down the stairs. And then she'd go up and down. And she did that I don't know how many times. A lot. And you've seen kids do that, and she was so tickled with herself. You could just see how proud. She made it up and down without ever falling. She did lose her shoe, but she just carried it with her. It was adorable. And I did a really good job of not looking at her too much because it was in the middle of my sermon that she decided that was the time to do that. Great. It was great. And we talked about how it's so wonderful to have children as we celebrate their grandmother's life. It was wonderful to come together and to see the family continuing on. And so we talked about that. And I also told people, there are going to be children all over the place. Live with it. Enjoy that. And they were. But do you know what I kept hearing as people were leaving the service? Even people without children, they said this: how wonderful that this church supports children in this place. That lets children be children. And you all, church, have a part in that. Yes, paying for our building, making sure the wind shelter is safe, but providing space for them, physical space, is one thing that you all do. But also creating a culture. Because I bet when this playground went in, there was some grumbling. I bet. What if we need those chairs? What if we fill up the place and we need those chairs? We'll figure that out. What if they make noise? Good, is my opinion. What if they drop their crayons and it makes a mark on the carpet? I know how to fix that, WD-40. What if? I'm sure there were questions about this. I'm sure. And yet, it happened. And it continues to be supported. And it's a place that children, when they are here in worship, can be themselves. And people recognize that. So not only did you create the space, you helped pay for a staff person who looks at what children need in worship. You help support her in her ministry here. Because staffing is the biggest part of what we do. And you support all kinds of things like that here. And you give hope. Sometimes people will say children are the future of the church. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. Because if children aren't the church today, they won't be here in the future. They need to be the church right now. And we need to be the church for them. You help create that. What kind of treasure do you have? And how can you share it? One of the things that we never say in this church is that you can buy your way into heaven. I sometimes wish I could say that because I wonder if some of you would feel a lot of guilt and then you'd write a really big check and that'd be really good and it would be like the ticket in. Because the pledge cards kind of look like a ticket, don't they? I want to tell you, though, it's not a ticket into heaven. It's not. You can't buy your way in. The only way you get into heaven is by God's grace. But you have a role in creating that grace. Not creating it, but living into it and providing a place for other people to discover it. This end of this section said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where's your heart? Where's your heart, church? Is your heart in children's ministry? Is your heart with the environment? Is your heart with feeding the hungry? Is your heart with, where's your heart? Take a second and think about that. What's important to you? What's important to your heart? Is it something that the church can help support? That we can create a place or a culture around? Next week when we fill out pledge cards, remember this. Remember the treasure that you have been gifted with. And remember that you have an important role in sharing that treasure with those who have less, who need more. You have a role in sharing your voice. But what is on your heart? As I said last week, I've never liked stewardship. I've never liked it because I've never understood why I should have to tell you to give to the church. That you should give to the church out of your relationship with God. And where do you find out about that relationship with God? In your heart. In your heart. Pray on that, will you? Look deep within. Try to find and understand what's there and how we can help you support that and grow into it. When I said that we're supposed to be the WD-40, that seems kind of silly. But I think that WD-40 makes the world easier in lots of ways. I think that WD-40 is something that we giggle about, but we all have a can of it somewhere. We all have potential to bring hope to a hurting world. We all have potential to make things easier for some, to provide place and space, to provide ministry opportunities. So in this week coming up, here's your homework. Get your WD-40 out and look at it. And then think about your treasure and your heart and what's important to you and how you will make a difference here at Mountain View United Methodist Church as we envision the best we can be. Amen.
You know, we've got to get Michael to put the words for special music up. I think we should, because there are so many themes in the song that relate directly to what you said.
My fear grips my face. shipwrecked soul. Your spirit will lead. It calls the wayward home, and the sound of your name. Our sin is washed away. In Christ we're crucified. In you we die. In you we rise. Out of the depths you cry, come and be satisfied. Father, you sing. Father, you sing over your children.
Go from this place and be a little WD-40. Go in peace. Amen.
And our final song this morning is We Are Blessed.
Let us praise God with our voices. Let us sing.
Give us thankful hearts as we sing.
Wonderful week, everyone.